terms of peace. Herbert Hoover served as president of the United States from 1929 to 1933. As far as I know, he had nothing to do with the invention of the Hoover vacuum cleaner, but he served during the onset of the Great Depression. A reporter asked him, "Mr. President, how do you handle criticism? Do you ever get agitated or tense?" "No," Mr. Hoover replied, seemingly surprised at the question. "Of course not." "But," the reporter went on, "when I was a boy, you were one of the most popular men in the world. Then, for a while, you became one of the most unpopular, with nearly everyone against you. Didn't any of this meanness and criticism ever get under your skin?" "No, when I went into politics, I knew when I went into politics what I might expect, so when it came, I wasn't disappointed or upset," the president commented. He lowered his familiar bushy eyebrows and looked directly into the reporter's eyes and added, "Besides, I have peace at the center, you know." Wouldn't you like to have peace at the center? A prophet of God declares in Isaiah 26, verse 3. Let's look at these words in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you." Lord, we have some things to learn about peace in a world that is hardly at peace. We pray that you, as the Prince of Peace, would show us what we need to see and know today about peace, how to walk in peace every day, how to let you have your peace rule and reign in our heart. So would you speak to us through your word, by your spirit? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Peace comes when two parties cooperate, God and you. Let's first of all talk about God. Peace comes when God does his part. The God of the universe offers you perfect peace. Peace is the result of grace. Peace literally means to bind together. In other words, the peace which comes from unmerited, unearned love can weave and bind your fragmented life into wholeness. This is what peace is about. And the civil war of conflicting drives within you and me, which makes us feel like a rubber band stretched in all directions, is ended. We can be at peace. The Lord is in control. The Lord has forgiven the past. He is in charge of now. And he shows the way for each new day. The Bible reminds us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never leave us nor forsake us. This should provide words of reassurance and peace for us. This is the age of the pill. Pills to perk you up, pills to calm you down. You could ask someone how they feel. They might not even know because they can't remember which pill they've taken. Jesus contrasts two kinds of peace in John 14, 27. Listen to what he says in John 14, 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Our society teaches you and me to be consumers. Consumerism is the notion that life consists in having and getting and spending and controlling and using and eating, always wanting more. Digital marketing experts estimate that most of us in this part of the world are exposed to around 4,000 to 10,000 ads each day. We are inundated. We are flooded by messages trying to provoke within us an unrest, a desire for whatever the advertiser's product or service is. It's to get a hook into us and get us thinking, "Oh, this is really what I want for my life to be fulfilled." This facet of our Canadian way of living directly contradicts the way of Jesus Christ. The way of the kingdom and the way of the world are very different. They are polar opposites. Jesus promises peace and contentment, while consumerism offers anxiety and discontentment. Satan is a master at counterfeits. One of his best ways, his best strategies, is to fabricate peace. Leisure and luxury are not peace. Conformity and compromise to the world's values and philosophies is not peace. True peace is a gift of God. In fact, in Galatians 5:22, we are reminded that peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is a byproduct of walking with the Holy Spirit, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, letting Him occupy every part of us, and letting Him speak and act through us. This is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The clearest picture of peace is Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Even as He hung on the cross, He exuded peace. Was He in pain? Of course He was. But there was still this incredible peace upon Jesus. He had peace in His soul as He went about disturbing the peace of the world. The Prince of Peace and the God of this world were in conflict when Jesus walked the earth. The Prince of Peace and the God of this world are still in conflict today. The battle continues to rage, but what is amazing is we win. As followers of Jesus, you read the end of the book, we win. We are more than conquerors, the Bible says to us. Look at the places on our planet where there is division and unrest. There you will find selfish, self-serving leaders and distrustful and rebellious followers who want to get rid of their leaders. There is where you find unrest, division, anxiety, everything that's the opposite of peace. The kingdom of heaven has incomparable leadership. If there was ever a person that we can trust, it is the King of Kings who we can trust. We can trust Him completely with everything in our lives. There is no one more deserving of our trust than He is. Still, Satan tried to undermine God's leadership with the angels before the heavens and the earth were created. He lured, in fact, one-third of the angels away, and they, now we call demons, followed Him in His rebellion against the Almighty. And in the Garden of Eden, shortly after the first people were created, He tried to lure away Adam and Eve by adding to God's word and sowing seeds of distrust in their hearts. And anxiety and unrest replaced the peace that once ruled there. Beware of trusting inner peace as an accurate guide to right and wrong. Hear me out on this. In fact, this is a common phrase used in the church today. I have peace about this. So it's got to be a good decision, a right decision. I've been around the block a few times. I have heard people justify disobedience to God by claiming, I have such a peace about my decision. And they have used that peace as an excuse to go their own way. Behavioral scientists call this the theory of dissonance. And this explains that what one thinks and what one does must agree, otherwise dissonance or disharmony results. For the most people, that dissonance appears as a feeling of uneasiness, a lack of peace. There's this inner conflict. The human response to dissonance is to get rid of it. And there are basically two ways. And we can choose one of these two ways to get rid of this inner conflict. One way or another, peace must be restored inside. That may mean getting your actions to jibe with your thinking, or it may mean revising your thinking to fit your actions. One way or another, we are going to resolve this in our hearts and minds so that we are at peace again. The brain's incredible ability to justify and rationalize can cause us to disobey and drift away from Jesus. Thinking slips to agree with action, or action slips to agree with an error of mind. For this reason, it is dangerous to rely heavily on inner peace as a guide to right or wrong. This peace should be subjected to the Word of God. This is our moral compass. This is our reliable guide, the Word of God. And if what we're thinking and feeling contradicts the Word of God, watch out. There should be a red warning light on the dash of your life that shines brightly in your face. While religion tends to focus on externals, the Apostle Paul reminds us to live from the core in Romans 14, 17 and 18. Romans 14, 17 and 18. Listen to what Paul says here in Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved, that is, deemed genuine and sincere by men. The kingdom of God comes to us when His kingship is established in our lives. That is what the kingdom of God is here and now. It's not just something we anticipate in the future. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within. And when the king comes and takes up residence in you and me, the kingdom has come in us. And Jesus taught us and his disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So his kingdom, his will, is to be established in us and in the world around us. One day it will be completely, perfectly established in the world around us. For now, it is dependent upon your submission and obedience to him and my submission and obedience to him. If you want peace on God's terms, you must think and act the way that he wants. If you're not doing so, then he calls you to repent. And the word repent is literally to change your mind and to turn to him. It means having gone one direction, you then turn around, make a U-turn, and go the completely opposite direction. This is repentance. For you to know right but do wrong will result in either backsliding or repentance. One of those two options. One way or another, you will find peace. God's peace or the peace of the world. There is a peace of the world, and there is God's peace. Sometimes they can feel similar. Make sure that we're walking in God's peace in subjection to the King. It may come, the peace of the world, it may come through compromise and the decision to live with sin. And so our actions and our thoughts begin to justify and rationalize what we have chosen to do. And then this pseudo peace comes upon us. The dissonance dissipates, evaporates, and leaves. And this counterfeit peace settles into our minds. Or it may come through adjusting your thinking and your behavior and bringing it into alignment with God's word. It means coming in to sync with what God is saying and doing. Then we position ourselves to receive God's peace. This is when we can walk in His genuine peace. There are two routes to inner peace with two very different results. God's peace or the world's peace. Which do you choose? Much of the world we live in rotates on Satan's standards, which are the opposite of Christ's standards. It's a challenge to think and live biblically in this world. Biblical success involves servanthood. Biblical power comes from being yielded to what God has given you. Biblical pleasure comes from doing right, and it brings peace and joy. The world's peace hinges upon circumstances and our fickle emotions that change like the weather. And is today's forecast sunny or stormy? God's peace is much deeper than that. J. Oswald Sanders observed, "Peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God." Peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God. To what or to whom do you look for peace? Relationships? Money? Career? Possessions? A trouble-free life? When you look to God, He will keep you. God and His peace are what you can build your life upon. He is the rock, unshakable, unmovable. Peace comes when two parties cooperate, God and you. Let's talk about you. Your greatest battle is right between your ears. It's not out there. It's not in Ottawa or in Edmonton or in Washington. Our biggest challenge is here. Your mind is a garden that could be cultivated to produce the harvest that you desire. Your mind is a workshop where the important decisions of life and eternity are made. Your mind is an armory where you forge the weapons for your victory or your destruction. Your mind is a battlefield where all the decisive battles of life are won or lost. When I was in grade 6, our science class did an experiment with iron filings on a piece of paper. Did you ever do this? When we poured the filings on the paper, they fell into a disorganized pile. It was hodgepodge, chaotic, no distinguishable pattern. Then we put a bar magnet under the paper. As if by magic, the iron filings lined up with the magnet. They followed the magnet's shape and force of direction. It was amazing. Oohs and ahs went around the grade 6 science class. I still remember that. Can't remember last week so well, but I can remember grade 6. All your anxieties are like so many iron filings poured out on the surface of your life. Jesus says, "Put my presence and my kingdom underneath your life. Seek me as a habit, and you will find that your worries will line up and take my shape." The greater gift is given, and the lesser ones will be taken care of. That's His promise and your choice. Contrast the person whose mind is steadfast with the one who is double-minded. James writes of the double-minded man in James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. James 1, 5 to 8. He says, "Any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Do you find yourself in moral dilemmas? Because you have not truly decided if you will go the way of the world or the way of Christ? Do you struggle each week with whether or not you should get together with other followers of Jesus or whether you can afford to tithe? These are signs of double-mindedness. Once you make basic decisions like these and others, you make room for God's peace in your mind. Once you settle and you say, this is the way it is, this is the commitment that I am making, this is the way it is going forward, I will not revisit this decision, then there is this settledness, this single-mindedness that focuses our thoughts and our hearts, our intents, our purposes, our values, our priorities. But if we want to go back and revisit those basics again, we'll continue to struggle day by day, week by week, year by year. It's time for us to get single-minded. Double-minded is not good. It's no better than double vision. No one wants either of those. Some people are as jumpy and as squirmy as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. We are worried and anxious, and our minds are flitting about and subject to circumstances and difficulties and challenges and setbacks. It's like we are adrift at sea. And God wants us to be focused and tough. God wants us to build our lives on Him and be single-minded, no matter what we face. The Apostle Paul reveals some secrets to his peace of mind in Philippians 4. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 13. Paul writes here in Philippians 4, starting at verse 4. Keep in mind that Paul was writing to a church that was facing intense persecution. This was not a lovely church camp somewhere in the woods that he was writing to here. This was an urban church that was facing opposition, physical persecution, even death. He writes, Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, let your mind drift all around the universe. No, that's not what he says. Think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. That is incredible strength. I want that. I want that kind of contentment and peace that comes from this resolve, this once and for all kind of decision that we can make to move forward as followers of Jesus. Contentment is a state of the heart, not a state of affairs. Is frustration just an inevitable part of life? Must you always struggle with discontentment over your circumstances? I'm preaching to myself here. The Apostle Paul recognized that contentment is not a natural state. Just as you cannot expect to jump on a snowboard and master the slopes like an Olympic champion, so you cannot expect to wake up one morning and be a master of contentment. Contentment is something that you and I cultivate day by day, starting the moment we wake up. Even if we've had a lousy sleep, we can still choose to walk in peace and contentment. And it's amazing how it builds. It's like this muscle. It's like we gain momentum as we focus on Him. What then did Paul learn about contentment? He learned that it's internal. Paul was content even in chains. So outward circumstances clearly need not threaten your ease of mind. I have observed that some people seem to have the gift of worry. And it's like we're waiting for the next proverbial shoe to drop. What else is going to happen? And you're just anticipating the next lousy thing to come your way. It's a gift, is it not? Well, I'm not so sure it's a gift, but it's like we wear this. It's like we clothe ourselves with worry and anxiety, and we go through life like this. This is not God's plan for you and for me. A key to peace is acceptance. It's an internal conclusion that the way things are is the way things are. It's not the same as condoning or even liking a situation, but it's trusting God to look after circumstances that you cannot control. And I might add, people that you cannot control. I am learning this, and there are some days when I'm in the zone, and there are other days when I'm in the ditch and it's not going so well. Why is it? It's because of the choices that I make with my mind and how I think. It's surrender. The Calgary Stampede is coming up. Consider the bucking bronc and the trained horses. Which horses do you think have peace? When you watch a bucking bronc, I get the sense like, they want whatever they can do to get rid of this guy who's on its back. That's not peace. That is restlessness, discontentment, unrest. That is not peace. Whereas the horses that are well-trained, they know who their rider is and they cooperate. And they seem rather peaceful. And what's amazing is such peace leads to productivity. It's about the cross. The cross is enough. Grace is enough. Paul could look at loss, opposition, and near-death experiences and say, so what? I've got the cross. The big stuff is taken care of. It's resting in who and what we can control and resting in who is in control. And last time I checked, it's not you, it's not me. It's about today. Thank goodness. It's about today. You must let go of the past. The way you've failed and the way that others have failed you. You must gladly receive God's forgiveness and freely extend it to others. Hence, Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us." Having done that, you and I need to live one day at a time instead of worrying about the future. As Jesus said, let tomorrow take care of itself. He wasn't saying there, don't plan ahead. What he is saying is, don't worry about it. I've got it. Trust in me. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. After buying a $1 million insurance policy before a plane trip, a traveler received the following message in a fortune cookie. A recent investment may pay big dividends. It's about Christ. I can do everything, including being content, through Him who gives me strength, declared Paul in Philippians 4. None of the other elements work without Christ. His power is what lets you rise above your cranky, worried, grasping humanity and say, "It is well with my soul." Have you firmly decided to follow Jesus Christ no matter what the cost? Have you made that once and for all decision to pursue Him, to keep your eyes on Him no matter what comes or no matter who comes? What do you feed your mind, and to what do you expose your eyes and your ears? He's offering peace, but He draws up the terms of peace. Peace comes on His terms, not on yours, not on mine. A submarine was being tested and had to remain submerged for many hours. When it returned to the harbor, the captain was asked, "How did the terrible storm last night affect you?" The officer looked at him in surprise and exclaimed, "Storm? We didn't even know there was one." The sub had been so far beneath the surface that it had reached the area known to sailors as the cushion of the sea. Although the ocean may be whipped into huge waves by high winds, the waters below are never stirred. Your mind can be protected against the distracting waves of worry if you rest completely in the good providence of God. Sheltered by His grace and encouraged by His Holy Spirit, you can find the perfect tranquility that only Jesus Christ can provide. Peace comes when two parties cooperate, God and you. Peace is yours if you do your part. Let's pray. Lord, I really feel that You want to impress upon us submission to the King and His kingdom, obedience. We cannot rush to peace. The door marked peace is marked obedience. Would You forgive us for our disobedience, Lord, for our rebellion, for our restlessness, for our lack of trust in You? Would You forgive us and cleanse us? And as we pray, are you prepared to make a no turning back kind of commitment, an all out kind of commitment to following Jesus, to trusting Him and obeying Him no matter what, even when it's difficult, even when people will ignore us or despise us, will call us hurtful names? Are you ready to make that kind of decision today? Lord, we choose to follow You. There is no turning back. We have settled it in our hearts and our minds that we will follow You, that we accept the terms of Your peace agreement. Jesus, we receive Your death and Your resurrection for us. We accept that sacrifice that You have made for us. We receive. And now we are free, honestly, genuinely free, to choose to walk in Your ways every day, to walk in Your peace every day, every night. We thank You for Your peace that passes all understanding. And we choose to keep our eyes, our minds, fixed steadfastly on You. We pray in Jesus' name.